way. Huberto walks in, makes a move, and he scores! Jonathan Huberto! And he scores! Alexander Barkov! What a move! He's giving the Panthers the lead once again!
Welcome to Territory Talk, the official podcast of the Florida Panthers. Here are your hosts, Jameson Olive and Doug Plakins.
Hey everybody, welcome to Territory Talk, the official podcast of the Florida Panthers, presented as always by Baptist Health, the official sports medicine provider of the Florida Panthers. Doug Plakins, Jameson Olive here with you as always. We thank you very much for stopping by, for making Territory Talk a part of your listening week. We've got a jam-packed show coming up for you as always here. We're going to talk about the newest Florida Panther, Joe Thornton, signing on since our last episode. So we'll talk about that coming up in just a moment. We've got a conversation coming up with Pete Jensen, the NHL.com senior fantasy editor. So we'll be talking to him coming up in just a little bit. And then we've got some discussion points to hit later on in the show. Anybody who's been keeping track on Twitter knows what we might be talking about. Might be talking about some food, specifically some soup, which I am not a fan of, but we're going to cover that later on in the show. I'm a fan of talking about it, though. I like the side discussion. Keep it up, and we will talk about that coming up later on in the show. But Jameson, first order of business, Joe Thornton signs on to be a member of the Florida Panthers, and I could tell you just from the media availability that he did back on Friday, you could sense the energy, the excitement in Joe Thornton as he was talking about becoming a member of the Panthers. He's a guy that can fit in a lot of different places in the lineup. He's got great vision on the ice. He has more experience than really anybody who's still active in the National Hockey League, and it just says a lot about the direction of the Panthers when a guy like Joe Thornton wants to join on and be a part of the team for the upcoming season.
Yeah, it does. And right now we're on Zoom because I'm in Savannah. I'm on vacation. You're there at BB&T Center up in the press box. And, you know, in Savannah, to walk in city, walking around town, I got my Panthers hat on. I have had one person come and talk to me about Joe Thornton. And I think that just goes to show you just
there's buzz.
What a figure he is, and, you know, what kind of buzz there is, because this is a guy that's going to the Hall of Fame. He's already made – that's the thing. Joe Thornton's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
You know, he's nothing else he could do on his resume to
– regardless, you know, of what happens here, yeah.
Yes, he's made his money. He's had a million contracts throughout his career. He's only coming to the Panthers because he wants to win. He's chasing that cup. He's 42 years old, and there's no team in the league you can point to and say that team is guaranteed to win, that team's the favorite. All you can do is say – this team's a part of a group of teams that should contend. And he basically is waving the magic wand and saying the Panthers are one of those teams. That's something we already knew. That's something we believed. That's something I think a lot of people internally believed, a lot of fans believed. But when Joe Thornton does it, the rest of the league then suddenly has to turn during the preseason and say, all right, now we're all on board too. If Joe Thornton believes in the Panthers, so do we. And of course, I think the biggest thing, and we'll get to the audio here in a second from Joe Thornton's first media availability, was he said, you know, he watched the Panthers play the Lightning in that opening round of the Stanley Cup playoffs a couple months ago. And we all said then, you know, watching the Lightning then after that kind of just roll through the playoffs for the most part. Obviously the Islanders gave them a fight, but overall they kind of rolled through. A lot of people said, you know, the toughest challenge came from the Panthers, and it was such a great series. And Joe Thornton saw that, he watched that, and he said, that's a team that's going places. I want to play with those guys. I want to be a part of that. You know, here I am towards the end of my career. If I have one shot, you know, maybe this is the team to do it with. So, you know, a big vote of confidence from Joe Thornton in this Panthers team. And we'll get to, you know, what it means on the ice and in the locker room and things like that. But first, I teased it there a couple of seconds ago. We did have a chance to talk to Joe Thornton from Croatia, I believe, or somewhere in Europe. He's on vacation, I think. And of course, he spends his off seasons in Switzerland playing, but I think he was on vacation when he talked to us. But here is, you know, a couple of minutes of Joe Thornton just kind of talking about, you know, why he picked the Panthers, what direction he thinks this team is going, and just why this move made sense.
Well, I watched the playoffs last year, Florida Tampa, and it was a great series, and I love their team, and it left a big impression on me. And I talked to Bill, I talked to Lou, I talked to Joel Quenneville, and they were just so excited about their team, what they're building down there. And I just thought I'd be a great fit with this group. And my family was behind me. You know, I have two young kids that are on board and meeting the players, and they're excited. But yeah, those, we're talking with Bill, Lou, and Joel, it was an easy decision after that. I love the game. I love the people that are part of the game. Everything about it is just great. I love going to the rink every day. I love still putting in the work every day. Hockey is just a huge part of my life, and I'm just thankful that I can continue to play. But I truly, truly love the sport. My 8-year-old's playing hockey now, so he's enjoying it more and more every day, and I'm happy to see that. But I love to play. I just want him to enjoy the process. You know, really just go day to day. And like I said before, I think Bill, Lou, Joel, they're close. They really are. It doesn't matter what happened, you know, in years past. This is a new team. They had a great season last year. Obviously, they fell to the champions. But for me, just, you know, put the work in every day. And hopefully at the end of the year, you'll see some rewards. Just their energy. You know, those three guys that we talked about with Bill, Q, and Lou, just the energy these guys bring every day. They want to work every day. They want to get better every day. And they're just excited to play. They love playing every night together. And I just, you know, really I'm looking forward to joining them on the journey.
So Doug, great to hear from Joe there. And, you know, a couple of things he said, obviously he loves to play hockey, and that's kind of reminiscent of Jaromír Jágr, a guy that, you know, could have hung it up years ago. Cause like I said, his Hall of Fame status has been locked in for what? Six, seven seasons now. It seems like,
yeah,
forever.
He's been a surefire Hall of Famer since his mid 30s, and he's 42 now.
Yeah. So. He's only been playing to win for, you know, for a while now. So, you know, for him, it's about the love of the game. It's about wanting to win. It's about wanting to get that Stanley Cup. And, you know, hearing him talk about, you know, watching this team and the energy and what we've been calling the young veterans, the 25-year-olds, the Barkovs, the Reinhardts, the Bennetts, the Huberdeau a bit older at 20, I think he's 28 now, but Ekblad 25, Uyghur 27. He sees all these guys coming together. Everything's kind of coming together at the right time, and he's hitching his wagon to that. He wants to be a part of that. He wants to help these guys.
So Joe Thornton, that was one of the first things I thought of when he was not only doing his media availability, but before that, when the announcement was made that he had signed on with the Panthers, you know, what I thought of first was, this is a guy that, you know, I'm sure, you know, he looked across the league, like you said, and he picked the Panthers as a team that has a shot to really make a run at the Stanley Cup this season. I think that just said a lot. And I think I couldn't have put it better myself, Jameson, going along with what you said. Everybody across the league, whether it's other players, other teams, you know, fan bases, media, whoever it may be, I think everybody had to look at that and say, all right, this Panthers team is serious. And if we needed any other reason to believe that they were a serious contender, Joe Thornton is going there because he wants to try and win a Stanley Cup. So that's something that just gives a lot of credibility to the Panthers. It tells a lot about the direction that this team's going. And of course, about what Bill Zito has built here already in Sunrise. And I know we can't wait to drop the puck on the new season. And hard to believe, under 2 months' time, folks, floridapanthers.com, check out the schedule, it's all there. But things are coming quickly. Joe Thornton's going to be a member of the Florida Panthers, and very quickly, Jameson, obviously there are a lot of things that have to shake out, you know, as far as training camp goes and seeing where the roster exactly, how everything exactly falls as far as the personnel is concerned and what the lines are going to look like. We've still got some time before we know definitively about those kind of things, but with Joe Thornton, a player that can fit in a lot of different areas in the lineup. You know, he could take pressure off some young guys as well. He's a guy that's going to be able to play on the power play, of course. And you start to look at potential. We talked about it last week, but now you add Joe Thornton into the mix. When we were talking about Sam Reinhardt, of course, we talked about it last week, but the Panthers are going to have the ability to field a second power play unit that could potentially be better than most teams' first power play units. And when you can roll one after another out there like that, as far as power play units are concerned, this team's going to be very dangerous. And I can already tell you right now, it's got to be a discussion point across the rest of the league. The Panthers are a team you do not want to give any freebies to. You do not want to take penalties or get into a parade of the penalty box against the Florida Panthers coming up in the 21-22 season.
Yeah, and you touched on it there, just the value he brings. Obviously, they're not getting, you know, 05, 06 MVP Joe Thornton, but they're still getting a very good player. And I'm not even just talking about the experience and the leadership. We'll get to that in a second. But even last season with the Maple Leafs, he was a guy that, you know, when called upon, got moved up in the lineup. He put up, you know, 20 points in 44 games, you know, doesn't take bad penalties, has almost 200 games of playoff experience. I think it's around 180, 186 in that area. You know, so much experience in that area. You know, he's a guy that can play on the wing, can play center. Obviously, I think in his career, he's only been sub 50% in the faceoff dot once. Yep. So he's a guy that he's going to give you a shot in the faceoff dot. He's going to win key faceoffs. Like you said, probably going to have a role in the second power play unit, you know, still one of the, you know, a top tier assist man with the passes he can still make at his age. So he's got value. It's not just the experience. It's not just the leadership. He's a guy that's going to, you know, give the Panthers a weapon on the ice in their bottom six. So, I love what he brings there. You know, even though, you know, he's not as fast as he used to be, still a guy that can really play the possession game well. He can still win those battles. And like we said, still makes the smart passes, you know, extremely high hockey IQ, obviously with all the experience he has. But speaking particularly about the experience, we were both around for the Jágr era here. And you can look at Barkov now, you can look at Huberto now, and you still see Jaromír Jágr.
Yep.
And what he did to them, whether it was the on ice, whether it was the off ice training, whether it was just how they carry themselves, there's still bits and pieces of him with those guys. And Joe Thornton is a guy that can be just like that. And Barkov's only 25 years old. Yes, he's been in the league for a while now, but he's going to pick up things from Jumbo Joe. Huberto is going to pick up things from him. And, you know, one of the guys that might benefit the most, we keep forgetting, Anton Lundell's coming over here to North America as a rookie. Imagine being a 19-year-old kid and the two guys you get to learn from are Alexander Barkov and Joe Thornton. I mean, he's going to learn everything any guy could ever want to learn about hockey this season with the Panthers, with those two guys in the locker room. So he's a guy that's going to teach guys things. In that audio, he said he wants to be a guy that, you know, a soundboard the guys can just bounce things off of if they have questions. I'm sure guys will have a ton of questions. These are guys in the Panthers locker room, you know, like I said, a lot of them 25 years old that spent their entire childhood watching Joe Thornton, you know, light it up with the Bruins and the Sharks. So he's a celebrity to a lot of these guys. And I'm sure a lot of guys are really looking forward to playing with him, you know, talking to him. And he is now that one figure where you look at him and, you know, we want to win a cup for this guy. Yep. Everyone wants to win the cup, but there's always those guys that can give you that little extra push, that little cherry on top to say, we all want to win, but we really want to see this guy win. And that's one other thing I'll say, kind of closing out my thoughts on all this, is I talked about, you know, the guy coming up to me to talk about Jumbo Joe. And the thing about that is, you know, he's a guy that's so beloved just throughout all the hockey world, throughout the entire NHL, that I think so many people are going to want him to succeed, that, you know, if any time the Panthers are playing and they're not playing their favorite team, they're probably going to be rooting for the Panthers, because not only are the Panthers an exciting, fun team, but now everyone's rooting for Joe Thornton as well. So that's just a nice little bonus. I feel like this whole deal just makes so much sense on paper, so much sense from a hockey standpoint, but there's so many little bonuses and cherries on top sprinkled in there.
Yeah, you think back, Jameson, to certain times in history, and there have been, you know, obviously with every Stanley Cup winner over the years, there are always players who've been at it for a long time that, you know, finally get to hoist the Stanley Cup for the first time. But you think back to times like 2001, Ray Bourque in Colorado getting the ring there late in his career. Or you think back to, you know, 2002, Luc Robitaille, when he went to Detroit and got a Stanley Cup ring there. You know, there have always been those guys that become those, you know, stories where people end up rooting for that guy, hoping that he gets a ring because he's had such a great career and has done everything right along the way. And again, Joe Thornton, you mentioned it, one of those, you know, win it for him kind of guys. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays in as far as this Panthers team is concerned for the upcoming season. Well, one thing we know, Jameson, and by the way, Territory Talk is always presented by Baptist Health, the official sports medicine provider of the Florida Panthers. One thing we know is that when folks are getting ready for their fantasy hockey drafts for the upcoming season, I'm sure there are going to be a lot of Florida Panthers that are high up on their boards. And I know we're biased down here in South Florida, and there might be a lot of Panthers fans who are listening, who play fantasy hockey, who like to grab Panthers and have them on their team so that they can root for them as they root on the Cats over the course of the year. But I think across the entire hockey landscape, there are going to be a lot of people looking to the Florida Panthers as a source for fantasy points and guys that can cover a lot of different categories in your fantasy league, because this is a team that has shown the ability to score goals at a great pace and has a great power play, and a team that's going to win games. So really, whatever position you're drafting, the Panthers are a team that's going to be able to help you out. If you're looking into that player pool, and whether you're looking for a star player or whether you're looking for maybe a sleeper down the board a little bit, I think a lot of folks are going to be looking to the Panthers roster when it comes to filling out their fantasy teams for the upcoming season. And we had a chance to talk about the Panthers from a fantasy perspective with the NHL.com senior fantasy editor Pete Jensen. So why don't we dive right into that conversation? Obviously, when we talked to Pete, the announcement of the Panthers signing Joe Thornton had not yet been made, so we didn't get a chance to ask him about that, but we talked to him about how the fantasy landscape looks as it pertains to the Panthers in a lot of other different ways. So again, here's our conversation with NHL.com senior fantasy editor Pete Jensen. All right, well, Pete, first, just taking a look at the Panthers as a whole from a fantasy perspective, this is a lineup that is loaded with offensive weapons up and down. And I guess just to start off, what excites you the most about this team overall from a fantasy perspective, considering how many point producers we have?
Oh, for sure. They are arguably the deepest fantasy team entering the new season, and that includes defending champion Tampa Bay Lightning, the Vegas Golden Knights, the Colorado Avalanche. You know, those are the teams that really jump out, in addition to Florida, on the fantasy rankings. Our top 250 is available on NHL.com/fantasy, and you'll actually see Florida have 12 players tied for the most of any team in the league on that list. Of course, the names we've come to know as elite fantasy producers over the years, like Jonathan Huberdeau and Alexander Barkov, they're still as good as ever. You look over the past three seasons, Huberdeau is seventh in scoring in the league, and then Barkov is 12th, not that far behind him. So two of the elite options for sure. But now I think what excites me the most is they have the best supporting cast that they've ever had in their NHL careers, with the addition of Sam Reinhart. Of course, up-and-coming rookie goalie Spencer Knight really gets me excited. But Sam Bennett, that acquisition last year was a home run for Florida. And the whole thing pieced together is a really appealing team to target in fantasy, whether you're drafting one guy like one of the top dogs or three or four middle road or late in drafts. I mean, there's so much to take here from Florida in a good way.
And I was going to ask you, going off of that, obviously, the Panthers, a team that you probably want to target in the draft, but I'd imagine that's going to carry on through the regular season if people are looking for waiver wire pickups down the road. Are the Panthers, we're going to have time to talk about the star players, but the depth players of the Panthers, are they that much more attractive because there's the opportunity to play with so many gifted high-end offensive guys?
Right. There's definitely a great opportunity for some of these guys like Duclair. I mean, there are still a couple of rookie eligible guys out there. Like, you know, we would love to see a Denisenko or someone like that. Lundell. There are so many that you could name, and we don't even know who's going to make the roster because they're so deep. You could construct four strong lines and be leaving some guys off that list. So, yeah, factor in an injury or two. Hopefully that doesn't happen, but, you know, chances are there will be an injury or two for everybody or more across the league. So you look at Florida, how equipped they are, they're as equipped as anybody. It's a really exciting group, arguably the deepest skater group in the league, certainly the deepest forward group in the league, and the top nine is absolutely loaded. You could see, I know that last year, Sam Reinhart with Buffalo had a career year with Jack Eichel being injured for a large portion of the season. So he was playing mostly center. So that's a luxury for Florida. They can slot him on the top line right wing next to Barkov and Verhaeghe. They could slot him on the second line right wing next to Huberdeau and Bennett. But if they want to play him at center and keep Bennett where he was so good with Huberdeau, they could even play at certain points in the regular season or the playoffs, they could play Sam Reinhart as a 3C, and they could have arguably the three best centers in the league going down the middle on the first three lines. So, and even if Reinhart, like, not to burst his fantasy bubble, but if he was on the third line, he could still be playing with like Frank Vetrano, who's fantasy relevant, and playing with Patrick Hornquist. So, and Hornquist is a top 100 overall player. So it's a crazy wealth of riches for the Panthers. And yeah, they have a bunch of guys in the top 100 overall. So I think they got like seven guys in the top 100 overall, which is astounding, really impressive what GM Zito has built down there the past couple of years.
And Pete, I'm on that. I'm going to throw a couple of hypotheticals at you, because obviously so much of this is done now where you kind of had to project where you think guys might line up, who they might be playing with. Of course, we'll know more once training camp starts. And then, like you said before, with injuries and lineup changes, these things change throughout the season. But looking at Sam Reinhart, I kind of consider him personally maybe one of the ultimate fantasy wild cards this year, just given the fact, like you said, we really don't know where he's going to fit into this lineup, but we know it's going to be a good spot regardless. But right now you have him at 46. But kind of hypothetically looking out there, say he is suddenly, you know, top line right wing with Barkov and Verhaeghe, and say maybe he is on the first power play unit, maybe as the net front presence, something he did in Buffalo. How much could that skyrocket his value in a short amount of time?
Right. His ceiling is extremely high, as much as we have to look at the depth of the roster and say, oh, he could land on line two or line three or line one. We know that the options are there, and we know that they're probably going to change over the course of the season. But I do think Sam Reinhart fits into power play one, which you can't really say the same about some of these other guys. Even a Bennett, you don't know if Bennett's going to be on power play one. You don't know if Duclair is going to be in there, or Verhaeghe, probably not really, with how many guys they have to factor in. So you look at the exposure on power play one that Reinhart's probably going to get, with Aaron Ekblad, who's coming back healthy, we hope, and, you know, certainly Huberto, Barkov. So it's a great ceiling that Reinhart has. It's a huge jump in fantasy value. I mean, the state of the Sabres compared to the Panthers, the Sabres have one of the fewest number of players in the top 250 right now. They only have Dahlin and Jack Eichel, and Jack Eichel, of course, has a lot of uncertainty. But like I said, Sam Reinhart had his best year goal scoring wise in the shortened season with 25. He was tied for 11th, I believe. And, you know, he had his best performance when Eichel was out. So that's very telling. It's, you know, nothing negative about Eichel. It's just like he really emerged and had his best performance when the circumstances were against him. And prior to that, you could have really maybe called Reinhart a product of Jack Eichel, one of the elite centers in the game. So, yeah, to answer your question, the ceiling is extremely high fantasy-wise. I wouldn't be surprised, even on such a deep roster, if Sam Reinhart could hit a new career high with something like 70-plus points. That's the ceiling, I think, for Sam Reinhart in Florida.
And if you're in a plus-minus league, it's definitely going to be a lot better this year, you have to imagine as well, going from Buffalo to Florida.
Oh, no doubt about it. And, yeah, for the Panthers, they're, I think, we were so encouraged by what we saw from them in the postseason, and that was without Aaron Ekblad. So they're one of those teams out there that's like really a dark horse. I know they're getting a lot of publicity more than years past because of the deep roster they've built, but I still think like for the Stanley Cup futures conversations out there, they're still a dark horse team to actually win the trophy because, you know, they haven't gotten out of the first round in a long time, but they've been knocking at the door here the past couple of years, and this is the best roster that the Panthers maybe have ever had. So talk about best foot forward and maybe a rematch. I mean, when I watched the playoffs, I couldn't help but think, what would this series result have been had Aaron Ekblad played? Now they got an even stronger roster and maybe a rematch in the playoffs. You never know with the Tampa Bay Lightning and best foot forward plus Aaron Ekblad could be a scary proposition for the Lightning to three-peat. You know what I'm saying?
we want the rematch, and we're already so excited for game three of the regular season, Panthers at Lightning. It's going to be a wild one.
Nice.
But we're going to keep moving along here through the different positions. But before we do, one last question I have about the forwards, and this is maybe more of a strategy question than a particular player question, but you look at guys like Carter Verhaeghe, Anthony Duclair, top-line players for the Panthers, but neither guy were on power play one really throughout much of the season. How do you kind of balance that out when you value a guy? Maybe a guy has top-line minutes, but he's on PP2, whereas a guy might be on the second or third line and on PP1. How much added bonus do you put on being on PP1 in fantasy hockey?
Right. So it evens out in some cases, but you like to have that power play point coverage because it is a standard category. Of course, like the plus minus category factors in even strength. So it does balance out a little bit. So you'll see a guy like Verhaeghe still be really valuable. And like Frank Vetrano, even if he's playing on the third line, he'll have some good line mates and he covers hits and he's a goal scorer. So a lot of it evens out. You just have to be wary, especially if you're new to fantasy hockey, that, you know, if you're investing in Verhaeghe, who might be on the top line at even strength, but not on the power play, or even out in Edmonton, if you're getting hyped up about Zach Hyman signing with the Edmonton Oilers, where he could play with McDavid or Draisaitl, you know, you just got to make sure that you don't reach too high for a player like that, like Verhaeghe or Hyman, considering where they might not be playing on power play one. Of course, Hyman could be playing on power play one in Edmonton, so that excites you about his ceiling. But those are just two examples of players that have not normally been on the first power play unit and therefore have still untapped potential if they get on there. But if they're not on there, their ceiling is only so high. We saw it for years with like a guy like Connor Sheary in Pittsburgh, where he would score 50 plus points, mostly at even strength, but he never really could reach that next gear because he was never on the power play. So just something to keep in mind, like a caveat about some of these guys who may have elite line mates at even strength, but may come up empty on the power play because they don't get the usage.
Pete, I've got a two-parter here for you. Aaron Ekblad has really shot up your list as far as the top-ranked fantasy defensemen are concerned. I guess, first and foremost, what makes him so attractive from a fantasy perspective to be kind of a fantasy team cornerstone defenseman that you can build your roster around? And also going off of that, how much attention do you pay? Because we know how well Aaron Ekblad performed on the top power play for the Panthers last year. How much attention do you pay then for who might end up being the quarterback on that second power play unit?
Sure. So Aaron Ekblad definitely had the best season of his career productivity-wise on the power play and also at even strength and overall. So if you prorate his 22 points, 11 on the power play in 35 games to an 82-game season, which is what we're hoping for and expecting this year in 2021-22 in the NHL, you get 51 points and you get 26 power play points. Both of those would have put Ekblad among the leaders. They would have shattered his previous career highs, the whole bit. So, yeah, Aaron Ekblad is a top five fantasy defenseman. Would you take him over, say, a John Carlson, maybe who is a little bit safer based on his pedigree? That's up to you. I mean, out there for who's playing fantasy, but I think the ceiling is more exciting for Florida, who has yet to reach its highest trajectory. I mean, we know which direction they're headed, but ceilings in fantasy are sometimes more exciting than the safer bet. So Ekblad's been in the league for a number of years now, but I think was starting to reach his peak last year, still only 25. So in terms of players I'm most excited about their ceiling on Florida, it's certainly Sam Reinhart, Aaron Ekblad, Spencer Knight. So those are the guys that I'm looking at that can really prorate what they did so well last year over a full season and become some of the most valuable players at their position. Certainly Ekblad, defenseman, is very scarce outside of, you know, Cale Makar, Victor Hedman, Adam Fox, who emerged last year. I mean, Ekblad, it's there for the taking for him to finish in the top five if he could stay healthy.
And Pete, last year, Mackenzie Weegar really emerged, especially after the injury to Aaron Ekblad. He was he played, you know, like a top defenseman. He was a number one guy and was kind of thrust into that role and was playing huge minutes for the Panthers. And beyond him, you've got, of course, Gus Forsling and Brandon Montour, who both produced nicely. After Aaron Ekblad, how attractive are the rest of the Panthers defensemen as far as the fantasy perspective is concerned?
I think Weegar is definitely really attractive for fantasy this year because that's what you worry about so much when you call a player like a product of the elite player that he plays with, either on a forward line or a defense pair. But the way that Weegar kept it up, I mean, he was arguably even more valuable when Ekblad went down in late March. So, yeah, really impressive. He's like nearly a point per game player down the stretch of the season, 17 points in 19 games. So yeah, Weegar really came along, was one of the breakout players of last season. And even when things worked against him, he reached another gear in his game. So I think that Weegar should definitely be considered a top 25 or 30 fantasy wow. defenseman. And yes, that's because I think so highly of the Florida Panthers. So we have him at 25 right now, right behind some guys like Jacob Chychrun, Zach Werenski, John Klingberg. So obviously those guys ahead of him have been performing well for many years, but I think the ceiling is very high for Weegar as well because of the exposure to Ekblad. And of course, Ekblad's ceiling is so high because he's likely going to be on power play one with Barkov, Huberdeau, Reinhardt, or Hornquist, or whoever ends up rounding out that unit. So really star-studded group, and Weegar is going to see the exposure to a lot of these guys at even strength. So he's going to have a good plus-minus. He's going to have a very high even strength point total like he did last year, maybe even higher than last year.
And Pete, I got to say, we did not give you any money or anything for this ride. This is completely your opinion. We have not bribed you or anything like that.
No, it's funny. We've talked in years past, and myself and my colleague, Rob Reese, have been high on the Panthers for a few years now and just what they've been building, but it's just taken some time, you know, and it's, there are other teams out there, like the Toronto Maple Leafs are the best example of teams that have been building something really good for a few years running, but just can't seem to break through in the playoffs. But obviously last year was a little bit different. It was not a first round whimper or anything like that. It was going toe to toe and outperforming the eventual defending champs at even strength in the series. So that's kind of why. And then they've even gotten better here in the offseason and re-signed some guys, some key secondary and third line players. So yeah, that's kind of why the hype is real. Fantasy hype train on the Panthers.
We're all on board. Yeah,
higher than ever. Yeah, we're on board here.
And Pete, on that, we only have a couple more questions for you. I've now taken it to the most important position on the ice and maybe the biggest question mark in terms of fantasy based on maybe minutes, based on performance. We really don't know what to expect from this duo, but you had Spencer Knight in your article on NHL.com the other day as the top rookie heading into the season to watch. Of course, Sergei Bobrovsky's got the pedigree, the veteran presence. That 1-2 punch there, from a fantasy perspective, kind of how do you approach those two guys?
Right. So I think there's a real drop off this year outside the top like five or six goalies in fantasy after you pass like Connor Hellebuck, who's been an elite workhorse for a few years now. After that, it's really your choice. You could get a younger goalie like Sorokin from the Islanders, who's a 1B to Semyon Varlamov. Or you could take a chance and try to hit a home run on Spencer Knight. Of course, like you mentioned, Sergei Bobrovsky has a big contract, a great pedigree. Even though he's underachieved, you could say, his first 2 years in Florida, he still has a really good fantasy track record as a two-time Vezina winner and so good with the Blue Jackets. So, yeah, I think that Bobrovsky, if you do reach for Spencer Knight, you should get Bobrovsky a few rounds later. I mean, nobody's really going to be reaching for Bobrovsky, but you could see him getting more starts than Spencer Knight. That definitely wouldn't be far-fetched. It's probably more likely to happen. We have Spencer Knight ranked so high because of his untapped potential and his undefeated record and how well he fared when facing elimination in the playoffs against the Lightning games 5 and 6. So you know, that's why we have Spencer Knight so high, but it's definitely a risk to take a rookie that high. Last year was a great class of rookie goalies, so many across the league, like 7 or 8 guys, including Knight, making an impact. But he's still rookie eligible. So I would say that the Florida Panthers definitely have a top 10 goalie tandem in the NHL with Knight and Bobrovsky. We have them ranked 7th behind the Islanders, Lightning, Avalanche, Golden Knights, Minnesota Wild, and Boston Bruins. So really good company for that duo. Even after they lost Chris Drieger in the offseason to the Seattle Kraken, you're still looking at an elite timeshare tandem if they both end up splitting time, Knight and Bobrovsky here.
And Pete, you're getting us all really excited about the Panther season. We look forward to getting you back on to talk about how right you were about all these things at the end of the year. But just taking it away from our last question, away from the Panthers, more of a general fantasy question. We've had Rob Reese on here before, who you mentioned, your counterpart at NHL.com. And I'm just curious, is there a guy this season where you guys just completely disagree on where they're going to be fantasy-wise?
Where we disagree. I mean, that's we disagree here and there, but we usually come to an agreement, like, in our rankings. So, like, our rankings are a definite, like, consensus where we, you know, I might be a few spots higher on a guy, or Rob might be a few spots lower on a guy, but it's very infrequent for us to disagree, like, in a big way. I mean, like, sometimes it comes down to usage, you know, for a goalie or for a player where we think they might deserve a big role, and maybe the coach for the particular team won't grant them that role just yet. And sleepers, of course, take a very long time sometimes to materialize. It might take like 2 or 3 years, but, you know, I definitely think like there are some good sleepers out there this year. I know that like Rob is very high on like Ilya Samsonov for the Washington Capitals. Hmm. But I'm probably higher on Vitek Vanacek, who was traded to Seattle and then traded back. So that tells you that Washington really wanted to keep this guy, and he outperformed Samsonov last year. So I know Rob is like big on the Capitals and Samsonov's feeling, but, you know, I would definitely say like, don't get too high on Samsonov just because Vanacek outperformed him last year. And that really could be one of the better tandems in the league. But when you're drafting one guy single-handedly in fantasy, that's where you could really be disappointed if it ends up being a clear timeshare tandem. So that maybe that's one that I could pinpoint that we might disagree on a little bit. But
we'll keep tabs on that throughout the season.
We like them both.
Yeah, we'll watch that one as we go. One last one here, Pete, and it's not so much a fantasy question, but something that you did mention a little bit earlier in the conversation, but you talked about how entertaining those Panthers-Lightning games were in that playoff series. And after that series, it seemed like the eyes of the entire hockey world were focused on that series, and everybody talked about how entertaining it was. Moving forward now, just, I guess, what's going to be the attention in your mind on those games as we go into the regular season? It seems like after that series, everybody's going to have the Panthers-Lightning games circled on their calendar.
Yeah, that you could make the case that that was one of the most exciting series of the whole postseason. You know, even when there were three or four other games going on at the same time, I didn't grow up a Panthers fan or anything, but I found myself tuning into a series like that or a series like the Capitals Bruins just because they were so tight every single game. Even though the Caps Bruins series ended in 5 and Lightning Panthers did not go the distance, it very well could have, but we'll see if they meet again, if Aaron Ekblad's healthy, we'll see. I think that series probably would go 7 or would have gone 7 had Ekblad played, but that's all hypothetical. So I do think that there are only a couple of teams out there that could contend with the Lightning in a 7-game series. I mean, clearly the Islanders are one of it, you know, having gone toe-to-toe with them 2 straight years now. Obviously, some of those teams out west, like Vegas or Colorado, I think could unseat them as the champs if they met them in the finals. But as far as Eastern Conference teams, I don't know if there's anybody else out there besides the Islanders and the Panthers that can really give the Lightning a run like that. So that's one exciting thing. I think that Florida in that first round probably would have beaten almost any other opponent they would have played. So again, that there are probably only a couple teams out there you could say that about. So yeah, I think that things are definitely looking up in Florida. It's important to temper your expectations, and not as a fan of the Panthers, I would say, like, for any fans, I would say, like, don't ever expect to, you know, make the cup final, but this team is certainly capable of doing something like that if they can withstand injuries, and they have the depth to make up for injury losses across the lineup. So that's the best you could do, is to prepare yourself on paper for anything that might go wrong. They have 2 viable goalie options. So now it's going to have to ultimately be the players going onto the ice and living up to the hype and the potential. But I think they're capable of doing that. And it's been great to be on with you guys here.
Yeah, Pete, we thank you very much for stopping by. Pete Jensen's the NHL.com senior fantasy editor. You can find him on Twitter at NHL Jensen, on Instagram at NHL Jensen. Pete, we thank you so much for your time, and we can't wait to catch up with you down the road.
Yeah, appreciate you having me on, and definitely check out the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast. We're going to be dropping a new episode next week. We're going to also be covering all the season previews, so like top rookies, top sleepers, mock draft 1.0 and 2.0, some sports betting coverage with props and Stanley Cup odds and best bets and things like that. We have some good guests in the industry coming on, so definitely check out NHL Fantasy on Ice leading up to the regular season. Whether you're playing fantasy or not, it's a really informative, statistic-driven podcast where it covers the entire league, and you'll be hearing a lot about the Florida Panthers on that show as well.
And that's the funny thing, Pete. We used to have to get you on here in years past because we weren't really talked about on your national stuff because there wasn't much to talk about. But now here we are, and I assume every show you do is going to have a pretty good chunk of Panthers in there.
Yeah, it's true, for sure. Whether it's a sleeper or a top-ranked player, I mean, I think it's interesting. I didn't mention about Jonathan Huberdeau. Right now we have him 12th overall, which means that he is worth consideration in the first round of a fantasy draft. So he's ahead of guys like Ovechkin and Crosby. So that's how far that player has come and how far I think the fantasy landscape and people playing out there in different league types are starting to appreciate Florida. Whereas years past, you would say, oh yeah, it may be second or third round at the highest, but you could probably wait a little bit on those guys because they weren't everybody's priority. But now I think you're going to see Huberdeau maybe taken late first round, early second round, Barkov not far behind him, certainly in the second round. And I think because of the better supporting cast, these are looked upon as not only elite players, but some of the hottest commodities in the entire league among the top forwards even, which is such a tough thing to do with guys producing like 80, 90 points in many seasons. And of course, McDavid over 100, Kucherov over 100. But yeah, those guys, I wouldn't put a cap on their fantasy potential with a better supporting cast. Maybe they could get to 100, one or both of them. You never know.
I know it has us excited for the season. We can't wait to see how everything unfolds going into this 21-22 campaign. Pete Jensen, NHL.com, senior fantasy editor. Pete, we thank you very much for stopping by once again, and we'll be following along with you on social media and your podcast as well. And like I said, we can't wait to have you on down the road.
Looking forward to it, and have a great season, guys. Love following along with the coverage, and great to see the Panthers as one of the up-and-coming teams right now.
Big thanks, Pete Jensen, NHL.com senior fantasy editor and co-host to the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast. Thanks to him for joining us there. Great conversation. We always like to have him on to talk about the Panthers and how they fit into the fantasy hockey landscape. And of course, Territory Talk is always presented by Baptist Health, the official sports medicine provider of the Florida Panthers. Jameson, he did talk about Mackenzie Weegar during our discussion. And over the last couple of days, as I'm looking back at Pete Jensen's timeline on Twitter, and again, you could follow him on Twitter at NHL Jensen. He posted, NHL Fantasy on Ice posted, he's obviously a big part of that, top 10 fantasy hockey sleepers going into the 21-22 season. They've got Mackenzie Weegar as the number 3 sleeper in fantasy hockey going into this season. Now, we know how good he is, but I could see where he still may be in terms of the entire hockey world, may still be considered a sleeper as far as fantasy drafts go. But I think this is going to be the last time you could find Mackenzie Weegar on a sleeper list. I think moving forward, he's going to be a known commodity to all, Jameson.
Yeah, you know, we love Weegs on the show, and it's good to see him get that recognition. And, you know, the funny thing is, you mentioned, you know, Pete Jensen's Twitter account. If you go there, it looks like he works for us. It looks like it's one of our accounts because there's just so much Panther talk in the fantasy world going on right now with how valuable these guys are. He also tweeted, I believe it was the other day, that the Panthers tied for the most players in their fantasy top 250. Yep. With 12. So it's all Panthers in fantasy right now. But Weegs specifically, I think, kind of ties into, I think, maybe one of the greatest fantasy, potentially league winning question marks heading into this season. And it's something we'll learn in training camp and as the season goes on. But, you know, with Keith Yandle now in Philadelphia, if Aaron Ekblad stays you know, in that circle with that one timer. Obviously, his value is still going to be huge. But are they going to bring in another defenseman to be that quarterback? Is it going to be Uyghur? Is it going to be Forsling? Is it going to be Montour? Or do they put a forward up there? Is Barkov running point potentially? So the question of, will Ekblad be running point? Will he be in the circle with the one-timer? Yeah, that's something I'm really keeping an eye on, you know, from a fantasy perspective, is what's going to happen there. But, you know, big thanks to Pete Jentz for joining us. Tons of great info there. He's all on board with the Panthers in that world right now. The funny thing is, we say, you know, a fantasy outlook or a fantasy landscape, but it really is just the outlook and the landscape. Fantasy, yep. And, you know, it's all value. It's all tied together. So, you know, a really positive stuff for the Panthers there from Pete Jentz. And I think we talked about it with him, but, you know, a guy that really could win your league this year, Sam Reinhart, I think. He's a guy, you know, Huberto, Barkov, they're going in the first two rounds. But if Sam does get that top six role, potentially top line, and on that top power play unit with what's looking like it's going to be one of the top offenses in hockey, he's a guy that you might get in the fifth or sixth round that has first, second round value. So for all our listeners out there, you know, Sam Reinhart, you know, league winner right there, you know, take a flyer on him, maybe a round earlier than you would.
Of course, the Panthers will figure into a lot of fantasy drafts in the upcoming season. Territory Talk is always presented by Baptist Health, the official sports medicine provider of the Florida Panthers.
And one thing I'll say on that, Doug, is funny you mentioned it there. It's gonna factor into a lot of people, and that's also gonna now bring us into a new world on Twitter, where you and I tweet things about players and people start yelling at us about their fantasy teams and things like that, which is good. When you have fantasy relevant people, it puts you under the microscope. All the fantasy players start to yell at you on Twitter, but that's where you want to be. You want to be in the line of fire there, I think.
You want to be yelled at.
Yes.
You want to be yelled at, and you want to be right in the middle of the controversy. And that's a perfect segue into what we've got coming up next year, because there's been a lot of discussion. And Jameson, maybe because you're a little bit more on the outside than I am, I was a source of the controversy, because I'm a controversial guy when it comes to food. And over the course of the last week, since the last episode of Territory Talk, when I threw it out there that, you know what, I don't like soup. I haven't had it since 1996, and I don't like cheese sauce. I like cheese, but not in sauce form. There were a lot of opinions that started flying around on Twitter and a lot of questions, and it really brought up a lot of discussion. And I'll tell you this first, folks, we love the discussion. We love the side discussion. That's why we're bringing it up right now before we wrap up here on the show. We're going to spend the last couple of minutes on this. But Jameson, if you want to take us back to the weekend, it seemed like that's where this really started to take off.
It did. I feel like a lot of people started listening to our mailbag episode and started to comment on Twitter about your just position on soup and these things, which is funny too.
It is a position. Yes.
I consider that maybe like a top three or four Doug character trait is your disdain for soup. But I had people coming up to me at the office, people we see every day at BB&T Center, saying, I didn't know that about Doug, or is that serious, or is Doug just messing around? But you are dead serious. You are anti-soup. For some reason, you're striking a chord with a certain group of fans who are either very pro-soup or also anti-soup. So like you said, you're in the line of fire there, which is a good place to be.
Yes.
For this. But the topic then now has moved to, is cereal a soup? So that's what fans want to know now, and I'm curious your thoughts.
It is not, and here's why. Because cereal comes dry, and you can eat it out of a box in its original state, which I often do as a snack food item. Soup does not come dry in a box unless it's one of those, like, the kinds that you take into outer space or something, which I've never had because I've never been to outer space, and I'm just assuming that they have some form of soup that you can take into space or something. But what I'm getting at here is I'll go back to my original stance on the issue. Bad incident, winter 1996, and I would just rather not have my solid food floating in hot water. And that's why I don't like soup, and I would rather just have solid food. Now, cereal, not a soup, because it comes dry in a box and you can eat it out of the box dry. Now, I will put milk on my cereal, but I don't think that is soup. I just don't think it is. Now, on the other hand, I'm not a stew guy. I'm not into, there are a lot of other different soup-related items,
foods,
hot liquid foods, good way to put it. I do chili as a condiment. I'm from Detroit, so the Coney dogs are a big thing, but I'll tell you this, I don't like beans. I don't eat any kind of beans except for jelly beans, so I'm not going to eat
chili, especially not the chili that comes out of a cup like soup, because I don't like beans, and usually that kind of chili has beans in it. Generally, I'm just going to probably avoid chili, but I will have it on a Coney dog if I go to one of the landmark Coney Island establishments in the Detroit area where I am a native and I grew up going to those places. But again, it's cereal, not a soup. That question was brought up by Reaper4, and he said he was going to be tuning in this week to make just to get our thoughts, to find out where this all went. And he also brought up another question: could salsa be considered a soup? No, salsa is a dip. Salsa is a condiment,
but you can dip things in soup. Like I dip bread in soup.
You can, but you still ordered it as soup. And
I think we're going like the primary source for all these things. What is it supposed to be used as? I think would change, because you can really do anything with anything. So I think we got to look at the primary use for certain things.
There's something to that. It also was brought up to me ramen on Twitter. Those ramen cups that everybody says that they ate in college. I said this on Twitter. I think I'm the only person who has never had one because it just looks too much like soup to me. It's just not something I'm into. And I need some large piece of meat with my meal. It has to be involved in some way.
Going to the Webster's Dictionary here. The first known use of soup was in the 14th century. And the definition is a liquid food, especially with a meat, fish, or vegetable stock as a base and often containing pieces of solid food. So that's vague enough that a lot of things could fall in there. But I'm going to go with you specifically going back to the cereal. And where I differentiate is that, like you said, cereal is what's in the box.
Right.
Cereal is cereal. When you put it in a bowl with milk, it's just cereal with milk.
Yes.
Cereal is the dry food in the box. And you can put anything in a bowl and put a liquid on it. It doesn't make it soup. Whereas soup, if you put a bunch of noodles and meat and stuff in a bowl, it would just be a pile of noodles and meat. It's when you add the broth, then it becomes the soup.
Which raises this question. Why do we need the broth? Why is it there? Why not?
The broth's good. I like the broth.
I guess that's where I disagree. That's just where I strongly disagree. And I think that's...
Wait, what are your... Okay, so...
I don't even really like the word broth.
But when it comes to your anti-soup, how much of it is the what's in it and how much is the broth? Because like, would you just eat a miso soup? Because there's nothing really in that except a little bit of tofu.
No, I would not eat that. And thankfully, the places that offer you miso soup, they either give it to you for free. It's not something that you had to pay for, or they give you an option.
But do you drink tea?
I do drink tea.
So that's basically a hot broth.
But it's a brewed with leaves,
which is that's miso soup.
But broth is salty, and I no thanks.
I just think tea is a different drink. It's a different flavored broth. I think
tea is a drink.
I'm trying to ruin tea for you now.
It is a drink. Tea is. I will do hot coffee. We go to some cold places during the hockey season, and I will occasionally have a hot coffee. I prefer iced coffee, but I will have a hot coffee.
So I know you're very anti hot liquid. Would you ever eat a cold soup? Like a pea
like
soup.
A gazpacho?
Like a vichyssoise.
Absolutely no chance.
That's even grosser for you. Okay.
Yeah. Like if I were to sit now, for any amount of money I could be bought with this, I would sit and just, if somebody said $100, just take that 16-ounce jar of salsa and hammer it. I probably would. I wouldn't enjoy it, but I get up every morning and slam V8 and I don't love it, but I do it. So okay. I could make myself do it for the right price.
So what's our final break?
Now there's going to be, I know people are going to be tweeting in daring us to do like condiment chugs.
You want to get a Territory Talk YouTube channel and just start doing Doug eating gross things.
That's, hey, for the right price.
Will Doug Chug. That's the name of our channel. Will Doug Chug. And we just find people write in things and send us things for you to chug. And then we decide if you will or not.
That's GoFundMe.
So what's the final breakdown there? Cereal, obviously agreed, not soup.
Cereal, not soup.
Salsa, not soup.
Salsa, not soup. It's common.
And with ramen, the question wasn't whether it was soup or not. It's whether would you eat it, right?
Yeah, I've had ramen noodles. I just not, I don't want liquid all over it.
Well, I feel like with the ramen, you're more pulling the things out of the soup and eating them rather than eating the soup directly.
I guess that's true. My experience with ramen is lacking. Haven't had a ton of it.
We'll have to do some ramen on the road this year.
Yeah, maybe we can go go check out some ramen someplace.
But keep the questions coming.
We love that.
Even
we
if they're
really
still
excited.
In the soup world, yeah.
I texted Jameson on Saturday when the controversy began, and I said, "This is what we need. This is what we need is controversy involving things like soup and cereal and all these different food items." So, at Doug Plagans, at Jameson Coop, looking forward to hearing from everybody as always. And as always, we thank you very much for being on board with us here on Territory Talking. And if you disagree with my stances on soup or cereal or jelly beans or anything else that I've or chili or anything else that I've mentioned here, I don't mind. We could sit at a table and you could have all these food items that I don't like across from me, and I wouldn't mind. I don't mind at all. I'm not gonna. I just don't want to eat them myself. But we could be friends regardless and enjoy a meal together. So I just want everybody to know that we were at
Panera the other day, and I was eating soup.
Right across, yeah, right across from me, you were eating soup, and I didn't make one mention of it. Actually, I will toot my horn on that. I didn't make one mention of the fact that Jameson Olive was 2 feet from me eating soup, which he knows that due to a bad incident in winter 1996, that I wouldn't approve of myself eating soup, but I didn't mind if he ate the soup. So we can all just agree to disagree on things.
I think we can all learn
a good time.
We can all learn something from that, Doug.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good life lesson.
It is. It is. Whether you like soup or not, we like having you here on Territory Talk, and that's where we're going to leave things today. Territory Talk is always presented by Baptist Health, the official sports medicine provider of the Florida Panthers. Big thanks to Pete Jensen, the NHL.com senior fantasy editor, for stopping by. Check him out on Twitter at NHL Jensen. Lots of great information there as you prepare for your fantasy hockey drafts, or if you're just looking for any other way to preview the upcoming NHL season, Pete and his team do a great job. So check them out on Twitter. Again, Joe Thornton, the newest member of the Florida Panthers. Great to hear from him earlier in the show. And we urge you to continue bantering on Twitter, reaching out to us. Any questions, concerns, inquiries, anything you may have, at Doug Plagans, at Jameson Coop. Once again, thanks for being with us today on Territory Talk. New episodes every Wednesday coming your way, regardless of how you tune in. Thanks very much for being on board with us. We will talk to you next week, folks. This has been Territory Talk. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Territory Talk, the official podcast of the Florida Panthers. For all your Panthers news and information, follow FLA Panthers on Twitter.